Love Talk Radio.
We have music. It's playing. It's playing. I'm sorry.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking again. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Good morning and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome to the Save Rural America program. And we're here today in Louisville, Mississippi at the Harrison Soul Food Restaurant, 606 West Main Street in Louisville, Mississippi. We invite you to come over today. We're having a great time here at the Harrison Soul Food. Looking over at the green grill, mac, pie, juices. I think they're going to bring my lemonade at a moment here. But then again, you're listening to the Save Rural America program. My name is Frank Taylor, and again, we're here in Louisville, Mississippi. This program is sponsored by the Wesley County Self-Help Cooperative, based here in Louisville, Mississippi. This organization was founded in 1985 for the purpose of helping small and limited resource landowners maintain and combine the resources together to build a super organization. Again, this organization consists of 83 adults and 119 youth. We're continuing that effort to make inroads into creating sustainability in the community through economic development, whether it's power enterprises or other type enterprises to generate income from those natural resources. Today is going to be a great broadcast. We're going to invite a couple of people in. I know that we'll have Ms. Tammy Steele, the president of the National Women in Agriculture. She'll be on with us this morning talking about their upcoming conference. It'll be in Jackson, Mississippi on April 18th through the 20th there at Jackson State University. So we'll plan to have a great program. But we'll want to talk about the upcoming festival in Jackson that we've been involved in over the past couple of weeks. Lord, this has been in numerous outreach workshops in terms of creating awareness of issues and resources through USDA agencies. The ones that FSA have rolled out the microloan. The microloan is $35,000 for a simple amount of paperwork. You should be able to have an answer within a reasonable time, within 3 weeks. The max is $35,000. You can purchase whether it's animals, farm equipment, needed improvement on your farm. And for those of you who may be that and lower, I would inquire today at my local FSA office, which is your farm service agency office, and ask about the microloans. And then they do have other type loans. They have the FO loan, which is the farm ownership loan, and they have the OL, the operating loan, and all those loans are available through FSA, the Farm Service Agency. If you don't know where they're located, just pick up your farm book and look in on the United States Department of Agriculture. Go online and look for USDA office within where your vicinity, where you are. So therefore, again, we're working to continue to disperse relevant information to landowners. We work in conjunction with NRCS, which is the Natural Resource Conservation Service. The Natural Resource Conservation Service provides conservation assistance for landowners and farmers to make improvement and become effective managers of their natural resources. This year, NRCS have rolled out a couple of new initiatives. One for the Special Crop Initiative and the Small Ruminants Initiative, which is only pertaining to the state of Mississippi. So those initiatives are there. They are there to help benefit the landowners in terms of getting the process and doing those things that's needed to improve the quality of their farming operation. We have next couple of weeks, we have a variety of workshops already in the pipeline. On next Thursday, Wisconsin South Help Cooperative, we have a spring forestry field day, and that will happen here in Louisville, Mississippi at 4 p.m. here in Louisville, Mississippi. And then the next week, we'll be in New Augusta, Mississippi for outreach meeting there at the high school in New Augusta, Mississippi. That will be at 5 p.m. Then on Tuesday, we'll be in Rankin County for a field day at Mr. Jane Gregory Farm. That will be at 4 p.m. there in Florence, Mississippi. On April the 4th, we'll be in Holly Springs, Mississippi at Ross College for an outreach meeting and also a tour of the historic university. Then later that afternoon, we'll travel over to Tippah County, Ripley, Mississippi, and we'll have an outreach meeting there at the county extension office there in Ripley, Mississippi. So as you can see that we are extremely busy, and on tomorrow, we'll have an outreach meeting in Scoober, Mississippi. There in Scoober, Mississippi, and that will be tomorrow at 7 a.m. So you're invited to come and to be a part of those events. And again, you can visit our website. Our website is WCSHC.com. Again, our website is WCSHC.com. Our office number is 662-779-2400. Again, that is our office, 662-779-2400. As we continue the conversation, we want to move to one of our guests that's on the phone with us as of now. And I hopefully we have Mrs. Tammy Steele locked in from Oklahoma. Are you there with us, Tammy? Yes, good morning, Tammy. Well, I believe she's busy there, and I hopefully she'll come back to the phones to for the interview.
All right, I got you
ready
to get on the telephone. All right, bye-bye.
Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Frank. How are you? I'm getting over here on the phone.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I am better than good. Well, great. How's the weather there in Oklahoma this morning?
It's cold. It's not spring weather.
Well, fantastic. Well, we have our weather here in Mississippi. We're just being inundated with showers, and later on, we're supposed to have some traumatic weather that's coming through, maybe presenting some hail or some other issues here tonight. So hopefully that our people will be able to work through it. Tammy, it's a great opportunity to have you here on the phone with us today. And would you formally introduce yourself and tell our listeners who you are and where you are?
My name is Tammy Steele. I'm the Executive Director for National Women in Agriculture Association. I'm in Oklahoma City, where the headquarter office for the organization is located. And we have seven active chapters throughout the United States.
Okay. Tammy, that's a modest of you, but you have not truly introduced who you actually are. Give us some background and some of the process that you've been through prior to coming back to Oklahoma.
What inspired me to come back to Oklahoma was, first of all, I met my husband, who is originally from here, as well as myself, while I was in New York City. And on the visit coming back, I noticed that there was a huge problem with landowners, particularly minority landowners, not being able to develop their properties to become active participants in the agriculture industry. They had land, but they weren't doing anything with it. And what I found, including working with my family and being around my family who has almost 2,600 acres collectively, that they did not know how to put together the paperwork to execute farm loans, grants, or anything else to develop their properties to be productive and make money from the land or even sustain themselves to feed themselves from the land. And as far as the organization itself for women and helping and volunteering behind men at farm conferences and workshops, I noticed that there were women that were at the workshop, and I saw men passing off the paperwork to the women basically to handle the paperwork. However, they still needed assistance. So what inspired me to start the organization for women was just being able to help them to help their husbands, as well as some women had deceased spouses or, you know, separated from their spouses or what have you, but had properties. And again, the issue is not being able to execute the paperwork properly to be efficient in the agriculture industry.
Tell me, let's unpack about your family and the lineage. How many centuries have your family been there in Oklahoma, and how long have they been habitating the land?
My family, initially, they've been here since the Trail of Tears. They came with the actual Indian Trail of Tears in the Seminole County, Hughes County area of Oklahoma. They were awarded the original 40 acres and a mule through the Emancipation Proclamation Act, and that we built from that the 40 acres. From 40 acres, we're now collectively, as a family, like I said, have almost 2,600 acres.
Okay. And are they actually, you are doing what type farming on, or are you using for horse production? What are they doing with the lands there in Oklahoma now?
They're using it for cattle grazing, cattle beef production, as well as, you know, some of them run goats. They have a meat goat production. Also, there are some horses that they use for doing a little bit of, they dabble a little bit in the horse, but more they're more active in the cattle production and beef goat production, and getting ready now to try to develop to grow hay, alfalfa, since there is such
okay.
a shortage.
You are working in conjunction with any of the institution, 1862, the 1890, there in your state?
Well, not as much as we would like to. We have before worked with the 1890 institution. Langston, of course, is our 1890 here locally in Oklahoma. 1862s, we are still behind the curve as a minority community in Oklahoma, being able to participate like we should be able to with them to help do some of the workshops and development of the properties. That, again, is kind of a growing aspect, and we are developing a relationship, just not even on my family property, but that's here in the community where I actually do a farm project, as you know, in the hood, as we say. We have a 10-acre project that's going on in the heart, lower-income black community of Oklahoma City.
Okay, Tam, we're great. As we are progressing the conversation here, we're going to talk about and the National Women in Ag Conference, and that's going to happen on 18th through the 20th here in the great state of Mississippi at our great historical university, Jackson State University. Tell us about the processes and how people can contact you in reference if they want to participate in this year's conference.
Most definitely. They are welcome to go on our website, which is at the www.niaa.org. That's our new website. And they can register there online, as well, of course, if they wanted to go to Jackson. But it's more efficient if you go through our website and just simply register. We have a link that's on there that you click in and says register now. Unfortunately, all of the scholarships were closed out on Monday, a month prior to the conference, in order for us to be more efficient with account and all that. And we're now, thankfully, over almost 500 who has registered from all over the country that's coming to your great state of Mississippi.
Okay. Tell me, what makes NWIAA different than other agricultural organizations?
first of all, what sets us apart, we are the first Afro-American minority women-focused organization that started in the United States to bring forth Afro-American business women, bring in all of our skills, not just business-wise, but any skill that they have together to help develop them more, to help themselves. It's like a self-initiative help. And while they're helping themselves, they're helping the community where they're from first. Also, our focus is on the next generation. We believe in sustaining ourselves and making sure that we do programs and tangibly help the next generation get involved in agriculture through paperwork, making sure by any means necessary. That means that we have to set and work with the individual with the paperwork to articulate proper English and logistically be able to get them over to the next level. That's what sets us apart, is making sure we're sustaining through the next generation and giving them genuine opportunity through resources that we share. When I say share, the way we're structured as a chapter, we bring that chairwoman from a particular area who has the heart, because first they have to have the heart to be able to share their skill from their individual farm property or community property that they're doing a project with, and bring others along with them to develop the resources and share the resources by hiring someone or several people or just helping them get into college one way or the other. That's one of the actual criteria of our organization, is spirituality and education. Those are the key, and there's no exceptions. I mean, and if you don't get in, don't fit into those type of actual elements of trying to develop yourself, it probably wouldn't work for you. Because if you're not into sharing and caring and developing yourself while you're helping others, it'll never work being a National Women in Agriculture.
Okay, and I heard you earlier, you stated that you have chapters throughout the United States. What are some of the other locations?
Well, of course, as you know, Mississippi, that's the first chapter. We have 5 sub-chapters in the state of Mississippi. That's in different counties, and those are spread out specifically and strategically in order to be efficient for the communities. There's Georgia. There's actually 4 active chapters in Georgia, in different places in Georgia. We have Alabama. Alabama is also has 3 active chapters, a 4th one coming on. We have Louisiana. There's 2 chapters there. And we have, as you know, the National Men in Ag Association is considered a chapter, which is initially has started here in Oklahoma, which has a veterans piece to it, and in the great state of Tennessee.
Okay.
We have a chapter there. And we're opening up Florida and New Mexico this year.
Okay. Well, great. Tell me, what do you think we owe something in terms of, you know, there's a lot of issues that's happening out there in our community and we're not able to get it done because of various things. What are some of the roadblocks?
You know, some of our own roadblocks that we have is primarily ourselves. What I've noticed from the experience with the organization, you know, we turned 5 years old in February of this year. And some of our primary roadblocks, one of the number one roadblocks I would say is we get in our own selves' way, if that's the proper way to put it. You have good people who want to do good, but there are some selfish characteristics that causes them not to do the right thing by making sure that others are aware of the information and properly trained, as well as number 2, as you know, that discrimination still exists. I know personally for myself, as well as other women, minority women, as well as minority men, there's a lot of discrimination that comes across the board from all different levels. That's from Washington, D.C., all the way to the lower level, because I know as Mississippi and Oklahoma, being poverty states, that it's hard to gain the respect as a community leader, being a minority, and making a difference tangibly. So I would say those are the two primary issues that really causes us to fail, and getting people properly trained to help, and people being able to stay and stay consistent if they want to be in the agriculture industry. Those are different types of characteristics that I've noticed that, you know, you get them, you help them out, get them started, but then they don't stay consistent to the project or to the community. You know, they want a quick fix, and nothing is fixed that's good quickly.
Right.
I know you witnessed this also, Frank.
Sure.
Well, you know, it's like, we work hard, you know that.
Right, and those are some of the things that we encounter here in the state of Mississippi and the work that we do, but we have to use an antidote in order to try to eliminate some of the problems. I guess we look at it from the perspective of not necessarily being a problem, but sometimes just being a challenge. And it's keeping people motivated and into the process, and that's why it's important to have an organization that you are the president of and integrated it into all the communities throughout the United States of America. And that really makes a difference for us. And we just want to commend you for the work that you're doing and just stay focused on that. Tell me, as you all move towards the conference, what is the conference theme for 2013?
The conference theme is actually the platform, as you know, is always growing character, health, and income from the ground up. And that is our motto, and we try to teach. First, work on the character piece of the individual. You know, making sure you get your spirit and your head right before you come into this and understand that you have a plan in action. And it's going to take at least 3 to 5 years for your plan to happen, because first you have to build credibility. So that goes back to your character piece. And we have special speakers for that particular day, which is on the 18th, that's going to focus on the character and the business piece of being a business agriculture entrepreneur or community leader. The second piece is the health piece, being able to understand that you have to keep yourself healthy and physically fit to be able to be out here to produce whatever. I don't care if you're growing greens, you're growing cows, whatever you're doing, and even growing character within yourself, you have to stay healthy mentally and physically. And, of course, the last piece is actually the agriculture production side, and that's going to be on the third day on different farm tours that we're going to have on the 20th, and we're actually going to have an actual youth ag farm show where we're going to display what our children in Mississippi are learning and going to be where we're handing off the torch to them to carry on. You know, we've been teaching them throughout the year or what have you, but we want to display to, you know, the rest of the people that's coming in from the United States as well as the USDA representatives and any other politician and leaders that's coming forth to make sure that somebody pays attention to what we're doing and that we are sustained for generations to come, that this organization stays around some way by the grace of God to get connected to a farm bill or something. So if I leave today or tomorrow, it will go on. And that's our company.
Well,
and contributing all that back to the great Miss Rosa Parks.
Well, absolutely, Tammy. Again, with that break here, we're here in Louisville, Mississippi. They're at the Soul Food Restaurant. They are serving it up here in downtown Louisville, Mississippi. And if you have a question for the guests, you can call us at 323-580-5735. And as we continue the conversation, Tammy, we're going to bring in April. We're going to bring in April. April Devine. April Devine is here with the Once Again Self-Help Project, and she's a food court person that's working with us. And we're going to bring April into the conversation this morning. She's going to talk about and Tammy, you might have some questions for her. But you can get the mic here. Good morning, April. How are you doing?
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
And say good morning to Tammy.
Good morning, Tammy. How are you?
Good. How are you, Miss April?
Good.
Okay, but would you formally introduce yourself and tell Tammy and our listeners what your role is here with the Wisconsin Self-Help Cooperative?
Yeah, I am placed here as a Food Corps service member. So Food Corps is a national organization. It is their second year nationally, second year Mississippi, first year in Louisville. Our goals are, we have three main pillars. One, to build school gardens. Two, to teach kids on food and nutrition. And three is to work on local education of local foods and ideally sourcing local produce from local farmers into the schools.
Okay, and tell our listeners about some of the projects that you have engaged with the students beginning at last semester and moving into this semester. What are some of the projects that you are doing with the students there?
Yeah, so I came into Louisville in August, and our Food Corps is at two schools. It is at the Head Start Winston County Complex, along with being at Fair Elementary School. The Fair Elementary School is K through third grade, and then Head Start is pre-K. So we have raised bed gardens at both schools, and I work with two third grade classes at the elementary school and 7 4-year-old classes currently, and hoping to expand into, so those 7 classes are at Head Start, and hoping to expand to more third grade classes next year at Fair. So, and we're teaching kids on how to garden and tying that in with nutrition. So, and why healthy soil equals healthy food equals healthy bodies, and just the correlation of all that.
Okay, Tammy, you have any question for April? And I think it may be something that your organization would like to maybe perhaps engage in, Tammy's with Food Corps. So go ahead,
Tammy,
definitely. What's the question? Go ahead.
I don't have any questions. I have, just actual congratulations and commitment for you doing such great work, because that is very important that our children, you know, they learn how to eat at an early age, because that is definitely one of the things that we've learned in the experience, that it's almost too late once they finish or get into high school. You have to start at a very young age to try to teach them healthy eating habits and how to take care of themselves and take care of the environment. So, again, I commend you, and I hope that you get to make it, and I'm formally or informally inviting you to our conference on the 18th, and would love for you to talk to me, and maybe we can partner.
Yeah. I will have to pick Frank's brain on more about it and whatnot. So, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. And keep up the great work. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and I will say to any listeners or you, if anybody's further interested in Food Corps, you can check out the organization foodcorps.org. And I definitely have seen the impact of kids learning how to garden themselves and their interest in eating the food afterwards. So from when I bring in lettuce to have the kids eat, they might kind of pick at it, but when they go out and they have picked the food themselves that they have originally planted months ago, and we bring it in, they just gobble it all up. So I definitely encourage you, your organization, if you're interested, or any listeners who come from a town that might be interested, to check it out. So, and that's foodcorps.org.
I will definitely go out there, foodcorps.org. Well, nice talking to you.
Yes.
Yeah, but she'll be here to stay right there, Mom and April. And to follow up on that conversation in terms of the Food Corps project involving with the Wisconsin Self-Help Cooperative, and they stated that is not, we're engaging our young people in the early grades, and these young people have acquired a taste, so therefore we're hoping to parlay that back into our local farmers market and to help our local farmers improve their sales. So therefore, that's a tier thing that we're doing. One is that we created sustainability in our community. Two is improving our health. Third of all, we engage in the next generation of farmers. Then the fourth process of that we're engaging with our local school administrators. And so therefore, that we've been able to create this cycle and be building our next generation of people. So I think it's quite important that we continue these kind of relationships. And this has parlayed into other opportunities on our Farm to School. And April, would you say something briefly about our Farm to School project? Well, I know we're contemplating on continuing the process. Okay.
Well, Farm to School in Lewisville, Mississippi is definitely interesting. It's going to be a couple-year process of getting local produce into the school. So, and that's going to be interest, and people are going to have to work on it on both the school end and the farmer end, getting things planned out and setting things up right. So when it happens, it successfully happens.
Well, we understand that there's always some policy issues that we have to get through, some hoops we're jumping through, but hopefully that we'll be able to get that project implemented in the upcoming months, okay?
Most definitely.
All right.
Frank, you know, that's something also I wanted to ask. What is the community like there in Mississippi as far as having you all an active participant as being, you know, NGO? How are you respected as far as being able to come in and educate the next generation children in the schools, in the Farm to School project? Because we're running up against that problem as well as far as being educators with college degrees and farm experience and everything else that you could possibly be certified for, being able to go into the schools and teach properly how to grow food and as well as teach them innovative ways to enjoy it. I know that's something that our organization has run up against, is just being able to get resources to go in to do that. And we've basically taken from our resources that we from other projects and shared just to go into the inner city schools here in the lower income community of Oklahoma City just to get them started. I don't know, you know, that I think that's a food policy as well as a legislative type thing with the Farm Bill that I think that us as NGOs need to definitely address. And like I said, I just wanted to kind of get some information on that. And if we could all work together to try to, you know, get some awareness what's going on that.
Go ahead, April.
Okay, well, I would say the culture, I'm from Big City, so me being in Lewisville, a small town, the culture, people are still connected to the land, and which is seem like for me going to the schools, that's really helped out because around me there's a lot of local gardeners, local farmers, or even if they currently aren't doing it, their parents were, their grandparents were, so they have these stories and these connections. Or a lot of the kids I'm teaching, they tell me things, you know, like I'm teaching, they already know it because they have an uncle or somebody in their family that's a farmer or whatnot. So that has been awesome. And along with, like, getting resources, asking for supplies. When I initially came in, we put out there's a newspaper ad saying why I Food Corps was here in Lewisville asking for donations and whatnot. And we got a lot of responses and a lot of things donated along with, as the gardens were built, there are different people wanting to donate wood or donate mulch or whatnot. That has definitely been awesome. So
okay.
I don't know if that answered.
Well, that's really, really nice to know that it does work in your community,
uh-huh.
But I know that's something that has not caught on in other areas as far as in our chapter organization. It's just been a hard toho as far as for us as women. You know, we're nurturers from birth. I mean,
yeah.
And Frank, this is no disrespect to you by no means or any other man.
Please not.
But women, we get it done, you know, and it's just natural for us to nurture a child, and we've been doing it since we came over here to America. And now we just got the education to go with it. And all we really want, and we want to find out and listen to any suggestions you may have and how we could get that respect to do so. Because, again, we're about sustaining, and I know the only way we can sustain is to teach the next generation,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Go ahead, April.
So, suggestion?
Yeah, suggestion.
So I'm not too familiar with Oklahoma City, but things that I would say if newspaper articles or can just get you all to get as many knowledge about what you're doing out there.
Right.
And just like education within the schools, but also education within the community. So even if you like, if there's local farmers market, put a booth up at farmers market, because a lot of people at farmers market already, some of them have interest in, you know, in sustainable agriculture and whatnot. So, and we're looking at doing just any local festivals or whatnot where we can just get the knowledge out on what we're doing. And things we haven't pursued but could pursue in the future is, like, there's a local parade, a local, like, get a local float or whatnot. So whatever creative ways you can get what you're doing out there and your organization's name out there.
Okay, great. All right. Okay. Thank you for the information.
Another part of that, Tim, is that building that the local infrastructure and relationships. We're in a small, close-knit community. Most of the individuals here that's part of our organization originated from Winston County. And we have some of these built-in relationships, and we've been able to work with some of the churches. We have community groups that have the youth group that's on the umbrella. And that has made the transition easier. And then just raising the consciousness of about the quality of health. You know, you are what you consume. And so, and that continues to habitate that thought and build those infrastructure into the community that's raised that awareness. And then getting involved with food court and having a person here who's working directly with the students, and then having an impact directly on the parents. And then those parents are hopefully becoming consumers of locally grown. Here today at the Harrington Restaurant, some of the food here has been sourced from some of our cooperative members. So, again, it's about taking every opportunity that's possible to raise that brand, and that's how you do that. I think April had a point she wanted to interject here. Go ahead, April.
Yeah, and one other thing that just extension, your local extension office agents. We, Winston County Self-Help, has worked strongly with the local extension, and me coming in through Winston County Self-Help, I naturally have worked with them a lot and have gotten a lot of help from them, a lot of resources, knowledge help. Just in general. So see what's already out there in your community and link on to what's there, because there might be resources. Yeah.
And we could talk about this year, through the extension office, have initiated a raised bed garden project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think now it's probably up to, what, 30 raised beds there, by close?
I believe. So they started a community garden this year. Also, so just in these past couple of months in small town Louisville, we have school gardens and community gardens, more community gardens. So, which is a great mid ground for education. So you don't know who's gonna show up and learn in these gardens that are gonna move on to become farmers and whatnot. What kids are gonna really get inspired?
And that is an important piece, I would say to you, Tammy, is building that relationship, and through this partnership, we got other people to become a part of that process, which helped to eliminate some of the expenses. So again, it's about just building those relationships, and things will happen. April,
Okay. Something
you want to add? Go ahead, Tammy.
No. I'm definitely wholeheartedly into relationships, and as you can see from the chapters, that we are definitely open to developing, connecting, partnering, networking. It's just what I run up against is being an Afro-American female in a, how would I say it? I'm not going to say it. being in the Oklahoma area where I'm from, it's just hard being in the hood. And being able to, and we have a 2-acre community garden, as well as, you know, raised bed project, as well as an entrepreneur fruit ice place for the youth to work at to innovate them to eat fruit and smoothies and things like that. And we know they're going to come to that. But I have to honestly say, still, the respect and the resources are not there like they should. And I mean, this is not, I know, a radio station to talk about the issues in Oklahoma, but I just want to bring awareness for any other states you know, and women there in Mississippi, because I do have women in other areas of Mississippi who have some of the same complaints as far as just resources of them helping with their projects, that they're doing good work as well, but they just don't get the respect or the actual help, I should say.
Yeah, well, and again, it's going to take those individuals, and each area is having a very distinct a position. And I think at times it takes some people who are willing to cross the bridge, and sometimes you have to burn some bridges in order to create an environment of people willing to work collectively together. But I would say to those individuals that's in the groups, whether they're here in Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma, is about having that mere work plan and strategically reviewing it and revising it constantly in order for it to work. And I can assure you, we always talk about this thing about practice, and people say practice makes perfect, but absolutely practice doesn't make perfect. You have to practice and you have to get better. So you have to internalize that and take those particular type of strategies. We started the show earlier, I said it's not a problem. It's about having some challenges and about having the energies to overcome those challenges. So I think that the format is there. Just constantly continue to work toward that. Again, you're listening to the Save World America program. We're here today in Louisville, Mississippi. We're at Heritage Soul Food. We're located at 606 West Main Street in the heart of Louisville, Mississippi. And people are in and out of the restaurant here. They have some great food over there. I'm going to have to wind it up early because my tummy is speaking to me and telling me it's time to eat.
Great. I wish I was there. I can't wait to come back to Mississippi. Y'all food, like we say, is the bomb.
Yeah, for sure.
I've been telling everyone who's coming down because we're bringing busloads in. And I was like, one thing you won't forget is the food down there. I tell you, it's wonderful.
Well, absolutely. We tell you, the food here at Heritage Soul Food, you know, they call fried chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken, they said it was tall looking good. But listen here, man, this is beyond tall looking good, all right? This is tall looking good. My producer on the other side coming in is finger looking good. Well, this food over here is tongue looking good, okay? Listen, you would almost rip your palate out to have some over here today. We have another call in from over in Oklahoma at 941-3929. Do you have a question for our guest here today?
Yes, I have a question for Ms. Steele. And I was trying to find out how difficult it is to get the students, the young people, into the farming away from the video games.
You know what? If they bring them, if they can get here, there's not a problem at all. We actually have experienced, no, don't expect the parents to bring them or get out their comfort zone. We have to go get them unless they're in a structured environment. And I say that's with leaders and community people, that's getting out of their comfort zone. If they really want to sustain and get into it, we have volunteers, including some of the veterans, that come on board and help us get the youth here to on the grounds to work the projects and learn how to grow their own food. Even now we got some of them growing in their own houses in case there's a water shortage like we had last year. We had a drought and anticipating one again here in Oklahoma. So we are teaching them how to grow even in their own house. So it's just a matter of getting the youth here. Again, that's up to us leaders, community builders, people just to help us make sure the children get what they need and get them here. We can't even depend on their parents, per se, because parents are busy people as well. Some of them are just trying to make it to make sure the light bill is paid.
Okay, well, stay right there on the phone. We're going to come back to you. We have another caller on the phone here. We're going to try to link up with this individual here. And this person is calling from Mississippi. And this person at 955, you have a question for Mrs. Steele.
Hey, this is Felicia Bell. How you doing, Mr. Frank?
Good morning, Felicia. Good afternoon, Felicia. How you doing? Felicia?
Doing fine.
All the way. the only way I can talk with you, I have to get on the three-way here with Mrs. Steele. Then you call in, I can hear your voice. But go ahead, Felicia. Welcome to the program. This afternoon. Go ahead with your question, Felicia.
Well, I definitely wanted Tammy to speak about what NAFTA Women in Agriculture Association, what makes the organization different from other agriculture organizations.
Okay. She must have missed us early on that, huh? Okay. Felicia, you know how we are. We serve over and beyond, and we probably outreach harder than any organization, except for Frank's, because I can't. We make sure that the people who say they want to be a part of something, we give them a tangible start by them articulating in writing how they want to get started. And then we try to make them accountable how they're going to sustain themselves for at least another 3 years. Because it takes, and we just basically go by the USDA standards, not our standards, but we have adopted the USDA standards. It takes at least 3 years to be considered a farmer, a sustainable producer, or whatever you're doing, in order to be entrusted with certain funds or anything to that nature. So in order, but we give them the opportunity, and that's really what sets us apart, because we will give anyone an opportunity, and you wouldn't even believe how many, I guess you can because you work with me quite a bit, how many we've given opportunities, and it's just not there. So that goes back into being a businesswoman, which people know that's really what I am first, and then I'm a farmer. A businesswoman is being able to figure out what is the best investment after it doesn't work. You know, after people show us who they are, it's time to change the structure and go a different way. And that's where we're going as far as the next generation. And that's what makes us different.
Okay, Felicia, go ahead with your next question.
Well, can I chime in on what makes it different here in Mississippi for the Mississippi chapter of National Women in Agriculture?
Most certainly, ma'am.
I am speaking on reference. I am the chairwoman for the Mississippi chapter, have other ladies that work with me for as the state is concerned. But for the Mississippi National Women in Agriculture chapter, we all about sustainability. I did hear Ms. Tammy speak on that for us. The organization as a whole is sustainable. That's what we move towards. But also here in Mississippi, we've got to learn to be more sustainable. Our farmers need to learn techniques that are more cost-efficient and more cost-effective for them. And be willing to be open to those new practices. They are different. Some of them they never heard of, but they have been done in the United States. So that's one thing that the Mississippi chapter is trying to push and get across to our farmers, to let them know that it's practices out here that saves them money, but then they make money.
And energy.
They make money out there. So you got this low input on the front end, but you making some good money on the back end. And I just
right.
want our farmers here in Mississippi to be open. When Felicia come in the door, be open to listening to some of my ideas about these new farm practices and techniques we got out here, because it is many. It is many. And I do daily. I sit here and I talk with farmers all over the country, learning these techniques to bring to our farmers so we can start doing better for being more cost efficient as farmers and go back to being a better business person. And so that's one thing that Mississippi pushed. We want to be sustainable, but we want to be sustainable for the farmer first, and then our consumers that buy from us. We want our farmers to be sustainable. So that's one piece I want to add, Mr. Frank.
That's
all right,
good.
Okay, well, we want to go back to Oklahoma to that 941 and 39 and see what's the other question you have, sir.
Yes, my other question was for Ms. Steele also. Have you got your students involved in the hydroponic area of growing products?
Not yet. That's definitely in our future. But that's, you know, with the structure and the grounds and all that. And, again, that's some issues and what do you call those, city ordinances that we're working on with one of our partners that you know that we, or I don't know, some of you may know that we work with battered women at a battered women facility where there are certain things that go into that as far as bringing farm projects, and we're working on that. That's some legislative issues. However, we want to teach them hydroponics because I'm so for, like Ms. Bale was just saying, there are different ways of doing things, and we are the new generation. We are so open to doing things that are better, easier, cost-efficient, and especially it's easier on the body. I'm all into that. You know, I'm into that innovative, easier way of doing things and cost-efficient. So, but I'm hoping, I think this is Mr. Johnson I'm speaking
yes,
to.
Yes, it is.
But I think yes, that is. You're going to be one of our leading veterans on that project, I think, right? I'm hoping.
Yes.
Mr. Johnson also helps with our cattle project that we have coming on board. That's going to be something else that's going to be making sure that the next generation will tangibly be able to get a livestock animal if they stay consistent, because that's something we have to teach first, that character piece. We're not trying to teach people to jump on board when it's something free and then leave us after, or leave the actual ag industry after they have something. You know, that's where we're trying to break that generational curse, you know, and make sure they stay the course in the project or through the actual project term in order to be awarded something through our workshops and educational classes.
Well, you, Ms. Steele, you keep up the good work, and I'm going to get off this phone. Y'all have a great day. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, too. Thank you so much.
Again, you listen to Save Road America programs. We're here in Louisville, Mississippi at the Harrison Soul Food Restaurant here. And I tell you, if you can get a visual on what I'm actually looking at, some great prepared home-cooked food here. And I can't wait over the next 30 minutes to get off of this program and get a couple plates, not one, but I'll probably get a couple plates today and enjoy there. But, Ms. Steele, again, let's, tell our listener about this year's conference, April the 18th through the 20th at Jackson State University in Jackson, Mississippi, and how they can contact you, Ms. Bell.
Okay. They can go to our website at www.nwiaa.org. Right there is where you could register for the conference, as well as if they go to the Mississippi link, there's Ms. Bell information right there. The first one when you click in, you can call her. She can get you registered in the conference. We have a special treat that's going to be at our conference this year that's going to be a little different than our usual conferences. Everybody know about the garden party that we have the night of the 18th. That's the first night of our conference. Again, that's back to that character piece. That's where you get to come all jazzed up at a garden party, because that was something that we believed in initially, that we wanted to offer, you know, underserved farmers a chance to really display who they are in style that night. And we will have a two-time Olympian that's going to be our keynote speaker coming in from California. I have confirmed with her agent. She's coming in. She's a native Mississippian. Her name is Miss Ruthie Bolton. I don't know if you all know her. Ms. Ruthie Bolton is a two-time Olympian as well as a WNBA player who will be working on different projects with us throughout the United States. And also, I forgot to mention earlier, they are also opening up chapters in California, National Women in Ag chapters in California, a camp for the next generation. And that's the conference this year. Like I said, it's going to have a special youth piece, which ties into our sustainability characteristic that we're trying to bring forth through the next generation to make sure they get it. We're properly handing off the torch in a dignified and classy manner through education and teaching them how to be consistent.
Okay, and what's going to happen on Friday? What's the schedule?
Friday is that's the health piece. That's where we're going to have actual different guest speakers and classes about different things you can grow for your health. You will learn how to properly bend when gardening from different herbs or different foods that you can eat to help with different illnesses. There's supposed to be hopefully health screening for the farmer to get them ready this year for their gardening or what have you, just to check on all of them to see if they're okay, because we do care about the health aspect of it. And then Saturday, as we said, that's the farm tours that would be at the different farms. And I think one of them, there's a community garden tour there from the Mississippi area, as well as we're going to a special farm that it's a herbalist, that we're going to her farm, where you're going to actually see where there are two sides, where they were at, where the slave house, where they came from, and where they're at to this day, where they've made it through agriculture and proper practices. And of course, we're going to end it up with an actual youth ag show, where we're going to enjoy eating barbecue out on the ground, as they say.
So. Well, great. And again, that contact information is
www.nwiaa.org. And, of course, like I said, they could also, once they get on the website, they could register there or go to our Mississippi link there on the website and contact Miss Felicia Bell in Mississippi. You can call her directly, and she'll get you registered and taken care of. And we hope that as many Mississippians as possible come out, because you definitely, like I told you, there's 500-plus that's already registered that's coming in from all over the country. Some are even coming in from the Virgin Islands.
Well, okay, Jan, well, that is fantastic. I know you'll probably hear me. I'm sitting here consuming some grain. I couldn't wait. But,
see, you're wrong for that, and I'm sitting up here hungry. Tired, because you know everybody should know that, you know, that the Hispanic and women's lawsuit deadline is the 25th, Monday. They need to get in something, so we have a lot of people that's contacting and inquiring about that. So between that and the conference, it's been kind of goofy for me this week.
Okay, well, that is great. Felicia?
Yes, sir.
What other comments you would like to add?
Well, I do want to let people know, please go online to the website and make sure you register, but also our agenda is on the website as well, so you'll be able to see what you could come to these 3 days of the conference. So please go to www.nwiaa.org. Please go there, register. If you need my assistance, you could contact me at 601-955-0339, and I would definitely help you register or register for you to make sure that you can come to our conference, and we look forward to having everyone. It will be a great conference, and we just look forward to everyone participating.
Well, all right, ladies. I totally enjoyed you two being on the phone with us. Again, to speak to our network of people throughout the United States and on the Southern Continent. And again, you'll listen to the Voice of Rural America. My name is Frank Taylor, and on behalf of the West County Central Cooperative. Yes, ma'am.
My last, this is Tammy Steele again. We want to personally invite you to come out and interview some of the participants and the attendees at the conference, if you would, please.
Well, I was hoping you would invite me. I've just been waiting.
You are personally invited.
Well, I'm going to speak to – go ahead.
You're one of my main – we are ag constituents and been in this game for a minute and know all the aches and pains and all the smiles and laughs and all that good stuff, and we know that it's for a worthy cause, and we need you there.
Yeah, well, we're planning – I'm talking with my producer here. I think it's probably going to be on Thursday when we come because we have another obligation on that Saturday. But you can pencil in for that Thursday, and we'll work with Felicia and you collectively together to put together at the exact location and the other detail. We'll work that out, okay?
That sounds great. Thank you
so
much.
Well, listen, stay on the phone. We just have some other people that we're going to interview through the processes here, and you are more than welcome to stay on the phone. We'll come back to you. We have about 30 minutes left here, and we want to get some other people in. But stay on the phone, and perhaps we'll get back an opportunity prior to the conference and chat it up again for maybe about 25, 30 minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right, very good. We want to bring in Dorothy Hopper, Jean Hopper, here with the Winston County Self-Help Cooperative, and she served as the youth director. And we're going to bring her into the conversation, and she's going to talk about some things that the youth are doing here in Winston County. and through the cooperative and some plan activity. So you need to, here you go, and tell who you are and go ahead.
Go ahead. Jean Hopper, Winston County CFF Youth Director, and we are just rolling, trying to get our garden started. We have already, the kids have already planted cabbages, collards, onions, potatoes. So we're trying to get the kids motivated into learning how to garden, identify plants, and learn how to enjoy the dirt. And we're also planning a program now. We're doing our reading program that we're doing on Tuesday, and we just ask people if they have children that would like to get involved to call Jean Harper at 662-312-8004. Again, 662-312-8004. And we're also involved in 4-H, and we're trying to recruit boys now to get involved in forestry. So we are working towards getting a forestry program together so we can compete this summer. So if you have young men that's interested in getting involved in forestry, please contact the Winston County Extension Office at 662-773-5531, and we will be more than happy to get them involved. And we are also planning a program on April 20th, getting to know yourself, and this will be geared around young women, young ladies and their mothers. And our speaker will be Manola Irby from Alcorn Extension and Dr. Nola Bryan, superintendent. It works in the superintendent office. So, again, we invite you to come and join us, and let's get our children involved. And we also plan a reading program during the summer. So we just love to be more involved with the youth. So please contact me.
You stated that you all have started your spring garden. And I understand this year that the County Extension Office has a raised bed garden. Are you all participating in that process over there?
We are participating. We have in our bed, we've planted potatoes and beets because I'm interested in learning how to can beets. So that's one thing that I want to try and get and show the children how to process beets. And the potatoes, we hope to raise enough potatoes to sell at the farmer's market.
Are you white potatoes, sweet potatoes?
White potatoes.
Okay, very good. So in answer, you are planting mostly cool season plants at this time.
Yes.
Okay. Would you expand more on some of the other projects that the youth are involved in here in Winston County under the umbrella of the Winston County Self-Help Cooperative?
We're involved in field trips at the Winston County Self-Help have each quarter. So we always try to get the children involved so that they can learn more about it. And that's one thing that we're trying to do now. Our youth is the future. So if we don't teach them now, then our future will be lost. So it's very important that we work with our youth at a young age.
All right, very good. In terms of when the vegetables are ready, they're just youth garden, how do you are selling or donating? What's the process?
We're going to work towards selling some this year, but we also make sure that our senior citizens get a share of their vegetables because, you know, a lot of senior citizens now can't get out and do gardening. So we make sure that our senior citizens get a portion of our harvest. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to start working towards doing pot gardens for our senior citizens, and we learned a new way of making beds out of pallets. So we're going to experiment on doing some pallet garden for our senior citizens.
That is wonderful, Jay Hopper. I know we're getting ready to move into the summer season. Will you be involved I know you're involved with the local farmers market. Tell us about the Winston County farmers market.
The Winston County Farmers Market will be open. Our plans are to open in May. We are having meetings now trying to get that adjusted, and we are also trying to find a location that will be convenient for our consumers. So that place is on the lookout.
Okay.
And as soon as we locate a building or a place, we will have announcements out letting the community know where it will be held.
Okay, that's great. Then, well, hopefully that we'll be able to get an ideal location for what's convenient for not only constituents, but also the sellers and other individuals throughout the state of Mississippi. I was in a meeting on Tuesday in Memphis, Tennessee, and I had an opportunity to meet the lady who's the manager of the farmer's market there in DeSoto County. And I want to say to DeSoto County, they are the most healthiest community in the state of Mississippi, and that's 5 years of running. And that basically, through the project of the city governments, county governments, all working collectively together there in the community to have a healthy community. And I hope, hopefully, that once the county will be able to attract some national attention in terms of getting our people healthy here. And once the county, and it starts with individuals like you and members of the cooperative in the community to initiate that. So you are what you consume. And whatever you eat, that's what you are. So we're going to have to continue to take time to connect with the next generation of people. Go ahead.
We are working towards that, and we have started including churches, and we are now getting ready to start a walk-off. And in our churches, in our meetings, we are promoting health by putting out flyers, information, so that people can start eating right, so they can start using the right amount of salt and be aware of salt and sodium. So we are promoting healthy food and healthy living.
Okay.
And by coming to the farmer's market and buying that buying fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, and then we're going to learn our young people how to can, how to learn how to do the freezers. So it is just a need, because a lot of our parents don't know the different types of vegetables they sell. So hopefully by educating our youth, they can let their parents know what a turnip green is or a string bean. So we're on the move, and we are trying to promote healthy living.
All right. Felicia Bell, are you there with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, well, I have Gina Hoppy on the other end, so go ahead and answer Gina's question.
Well, Miss Jean, how you doing this morning?
I'm fine, and how are you?
All right. I'm glad to hear that you're starting the Palette Garden. That was one of those innovative ways of gardening for elderly and for the young people. My question is, will you be working along with the extension office with doing Palette Garden or promoting the Palette Garden?
Yes, we will.
That is wonderful, because that is a wonderful way to really get gardening out there. It's similar somewhat to raised beds, but here in Mississippi, we can get a hold of pallets very easily. So that's something for, again, cost efficient for our residents that may not have the resources to go out and buy different things to create raised beds. So I definitely commend you on promoting that particular technique.
Yes, and I also, I was in a meeting with Southern University, and they said we could use cardboard for the bottom, so that's a cost saving there.
Definitely, definitely. Well, that's great to hear. And do our listeners know why we use the cardboard? Can you expound on why we use the cardboard?
Yes, the cardboard was just, it would break down and be a compost for our garden.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Also, just that weed suppression, grass suppression and stuff, where we don't necessarily have to use the chemicals. Because to eat healthy and be healthy, like Mr. Frank said, for the consumption of food, we have to keep in mind that we want to limit our consumption of chemical-based foods. So that's another reason why we use our boxes, where we don't have to use chemicals to kill the grass as well.
Yes, and we have compost. We started this the early part of the year saving leaves. So we have a nice compost bed also to include in our garden.
Ms. Jean, also, can you talk on the number of young people you work with? Because I know that you have a lot of young people, and I know you probably add in daily. Can you tell people about how many young people you work with?
We work with about 25 youth, and we have really started back now. We are working with younger children, and in our surprise, we have more boys this year, and that's a blessing. We usually have girls, but this year we have a number of boys, and they range from first grade up to 12th grade. So it's about 25 that I work with, that we work with. So it's a challenge, but it's okay.
Yes, ma'am, but I want to commend you. As always, we like each and every person on the call has spoke about it's the next generation, making sure that we are providing the education to the next generation to take it on in for us. We are truly passing the baton. So I have to commend you always, Ms. Jean, on the work that you're doing.
Yeah, we got to pass the baton over because now sometimes I don't feel like bending over, so I need them to bend for me.
I heard that.
Tammy, do you have a question for Ms. Hopper?
No, I'm like Ms. Bell. I commend her on the work when it comes to sustaining through the next generation. Just keep up the good work and, you know, whatever we can do to collaborate or partner together to bring and share different good times and bad times with them. Because, you know, as you were saying, sometimes it can be challenging. Because our youth, they are a different generation. So there's a lot of different elements that go in with trying to make sure that they stay connected and interested, that you're making sure that you attract to them, that you're serving them to the point that they understand it and they get it. And I commend you for having that many in your youth program. And any female, I say, and Frank, again, no disrespect to you, any other males, but females that's stepping up and making sure that our babies get it. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, then. We want to thank Ms. Hopper here for chiming in on the conversation. But to Felicia, Tammy, and Jean, when we realize that men, if it had not, then I wouldn't be here. And without your constant leadership and companionship, we wouldn't be where we are today as people, as an organization. So it's imperative that we continue to work towards these goals to make it palatable in our communities to get it done. And we all, as an organization, we're here to work with all individuals to, one, to disseminate the word about what we're trying to do here in rural America, because it takes all individuals here to make a difference. And so, again, if we want to just commend them for doing what you're doing. Go ahead, Ms. Hopper.
Okay, Tammy, I have a question for you.
Yes,
if you have any information that you would like to share that would help motivate our children, I will see you in April. So bring me some information, and I'll be more than happy to accept it and put it in action.
I sure will. One of our key things, as you know, it's on our logo, is called AgriDiva. For the young women, and then, you know, we got the hip-hop producer program for the young men and women. It's geared toward teens.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the Butterfly, Bumblebees and Butterfly Project, that is a collaboration with the 4-H. But it's geared specifically for minority children so they will get it. You know, like we enter 4-H practices, because I'm one of those people that I don't recreate the wheel, but I definitely tweak it and make it logistically attractive to the audience that I'm serving.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And
yeah.
I, like I said, we have some literature. I definitely will be bringing it down. Actually, stuff is being shipped out this weekend, next week down there, so we'll be ready and up and on board. And you'll definitely see some of the AgriDivas around, as well as hip-hop producers. We're bringing some in.
Oh, okay.
Mississippi has some also, don't they, Felicia?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do have the different age groups and stuff that we're working with, and they're, again, tying in to 4-H as well. But we do have those young people on board doing some great things, just like Ms. Tammy said, with her young people doing the gardens at their homes. That is tremendous for young people to have that initiative to start growing their own food. So, yes, we do have young people here doing the same work.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have a conversation in April then.
Most definitely. Sometimes we're going to get them all together. We just need to get Oklahoma and Mississippi youth together and just have a good time. And that'll show I like them to show me some things. I work around young people all the time because they keep me young.
Hey, thank you. You know, hey, that's what keeps me going.
That's what keeps me going. You know, when I can't get a text out fast enough or I can't do something real savvy on the computer, I just tell one of them, you know how y'all do it when y'all be tweeting and Facebooking and all that. They teach me all the tricks of the trade.
That's right. They keep your mind together.
Most definitely. And, you know, they even have me watching my weight some. Now, I'm like, I'm not trying to be big walking around in here and they, like, running circles around me.
Well, hey, I know you're not a grandmother, but hey, I tell them I want to be a fine grandmother.
Hear me, I'm with you all the way. That's good. I love when my daughter's friends tell your mama look good. I like that. All right,
okay.
Well, it's talking to you. I'm looking so forward with the conference, and we have a lot to share with each other. And that's what's so beautiful about women in agriculture, and we're definitely making sure that our babies get it, and that's our passion, and I think that it has to be shouted to the world. And I know for a fact that Michelle Obama is looking at us, and the Obamas, our picture has been presented to the White House, and President Obama literally said, who are they? And the USDA people said, those are our friends that opened up some doors, and we're going down in some history books for our babies. It's happening for us.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to talk Frank into sending us to Oklahoma.
Yeah, he will. Frank, all right, he will.
Hey, I'm asking now so he have time to think about it. Okay, thanks.
All right, again, that you there. Tammy and Felicia, again, give the website and the phone number, the date, and where the conference is going to occur. We have about 20 minutes left in the program, so go ahead.
We should go ahead.
Okay, you can find out information about the conference at www.nwiaa.org. That is our National Women in Agriculture Association website. Please go there and register. And if you have any problems, you can contact me as well, Felicia Bell, at 601-955-0339, and I can walk you through it, help you register, or just give me a call and I'll register you. So we look forward to everyone coming to the conference.
Okay, Tammy and Felicia, it has been a great thrill having you here with us from the morning now into the afternoon, trying to make it happen. We wish you all the best on the 18th through the 20th here in the great state of Mississippi. I hope that you all have a great time. We will talk and we'll put together logistics. We'll be there hopefully on the Thursday night, sometime during the day, and we have a live broadcast, and we get opportunities to interview some of the other participants there on the 18th of April. Is there any other comments, Tammy, Felicia, that we close?
Other than thank you for this radio show, thank you for all the work that you do. I know you work tirelessly, daily, in the community, there in your community, and all over the United States trying to make it happen. You're making it happen, brother, and we appreciate you. Whatever we could do to support you, you know that I personally speak for the organization as a whole, that we're here, and, hey, I hope that much success and blessings.
Well, the same to you. I know, I read the news about it. You will be speaking out in North Carolina A&T next week, is that right?
Yes, sir. I go speak to some young people at college out there at North Carolina A&T. That's the first black historical 1890 university. So it's quite an honor that they called me to the forefront to speak on business and agriculture practices and so forth. So it's all good. It's working, you know. And my goal right now is to get others trained up on a business scale so I don't have to do all the running.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm sure you have a great time out there with Dr. McKinney and all the other people there at North Carolina A&T. They have a wonderful program, an 1890 program. And you know that Ray served with us on Southern Center. And we just look forward to continuing that process. That's, again, it was something we should talk about, Tammy, that you and I both serve on the Southern Center, and you and I are on a couple committees together,
right.
And this is another entity that we need to make in terms of social disadvantaged producers aware of some of the resources that are available through Southern Center to help enhance their farm program. So we need to, in turn, talk about that more at meetings. And yesterday, I know you weren't able to participate on the call, and we talked about what's coming up, how we can make the producer grant more palatable to producers. And that's for people like Felicia and all the other people who are out to act for producer, and they can receive
right.
up to $10,000 all from help them with a particular project that's innovative. So again,
right.
we got to press that particular issue in our community, because especially here in Mississippi and Alabama are the most unfortunate state in terms of getting successful proposals through. So we need to talk about that somewhat, Tammy.
Well, Stephanie, we're also going to have, right, at the conference, we will have Sayer there. I have some representatives, Dr. James Hill and Candace Pollock. They will be there bringing Sayer grant information as well as highlights regarding different programs through our Sayer organization. And again, that's one of the best organizations we have around to help the individual producer.
And that is correct. And there's money that's awarded. We have about six different grant programs, but the producer grant and the all-farm grant are the one basically that we can access as producers and through community-based organizations. So we need to hammer that issue, and I know you all do an excellent job at the conference there in Jackson and getting people aware of the resources that's through Southern SARE. And also, again, it's by getting other people acclimated and getting them ready to serve on these committees, because it takes all of us to get it done. And I know, Tammy, I'm an old man, and I know because I'm about to get my senior citizen card on May the 7th, and I'll be 55. So we got to get some of these young people involved in this work that we're in. So this will continue. The young people like Felicia.
Yes, sir.
Mr.
Frank, can I chime in on a deadline that's coming up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we have the NRCS Livestock Initiative. That deadline is April 18th, but we will not be able to speak on it at the conference because it will be over at that time. So thank you for letting me kind of just push that in there. We need our producers, the livestock producers, to go to their local NRCS office and find out more information about the Livestock Initiative. It just come out, but it will be closing April 18th. So please go to the NRCS office.
Yeah, that is a small, luminous initiative.
Yeah.
Right, that's on. It's going to be on April the 19th. Yes, we need
to
encourage. Yeah, April the 19th to encourage our producers to get into the office and get signed up, because that initiative will help individuals like you, Felicia, and other people who have small ruminants. And I think it's going to be a great project. It will help them defer some of the expenses for fencing and provide water, forages, and several things under the QUIP program that's available. And so, therefore, yes, we are encouraging the people to get involved. And, Felicia, we're coming to Rankin County. We're going to have a field day outreach at James Gregory Farm on April the 2nd at around 3 p.m., and they're going to talk about the small limited initiative there in Rankin County. So that's going to happen that's going to be on April the 2nd at 3 p.m. at James Gregory Farm. That's located at 476 Thomasville Road, Florence, Mississippi.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thank you.
All right. And again, then also, that's the all initiative, the Special Crop Initiative. You need to get in by the 19th if you want to be included in the second ranking. You need to get in, although it would be a continuous sign-up, but you need to get in by the 19th to be considered in this cycle of funding. So please go by your local NRCS, your Natural Resource Conservation Office there in your area, and get signed up. And that's here in Mississippi on a small women's initiative. I'm sorry, Tammy, but the way you can make it happen in Oklahoma is that you need to approach your state conservation and tell them that you have individuals in your community that has a specified need that has not been met, and they can make it as one of their practices in your state there in Oklahoma, and that's how you work in those type special initiatives. They have a particular target group of people who perhaps are less fortunate in terms of income. So, again, that's how you work collectively. We encourage our people to become involved in your LWT, your local work group, and your local work group set the priorities for your NRCS program. So, again, you have to check with your local conservationists, and then in your county or your parish, they have a local work group, and that local work group sets the priority in terms of what are the resource concerns in your county. And in this county, it's grazing land and forestry. That's our concerns here in this county. And that's right, one and two. In Rankin County, is grazing land. That's one of the concerns. In Oklahoma, it may be another concern. So, again, those local work groups set the tone and help the USDA set and develop policies for the landowner. And another thing that's happening that's coming up soon, and we need to be prepared for that, is that the FSA, Farm Service Agency Committee, County Committee, election process will start on June 1st through August 1st is the period where you can go in and nominate yourself. Someone can nominate you, our group can nominate you. So you have a 60-day window to get ready, and how you follow that, you need to know what area. You have a LLA, and a local administrative area here in the state of Mississippi, and usually it's three areas. So you need to determine what area is up for election. If you, your farm is in that area, well, you all need to make sure that you find someone that's eligible to be a successful candidate in the county committee. And that's coming up, and it started on June 1st through August 1st is the nominating period. And so we need to make our people aware of that, Tammy, Felicia, and all of the individuals who listen. And that's how you build that team chemistry in your community. That's how you become an effective user and also as an advocate. And that's how we're going to work collectively together to help save rural America. And we can. And we can get this done if we work collectively together and put together those puzzles and processes to change lives where we live and work on a day-to-day basis. Go ahead, Tammy.
Hello?
Tammy? Felicia?
Yes, sir.
Well, anyway, is there anything else you want to say before we close it up? We have about 2 minutes left in the program.
Well, I wanted to thank you as well for having us on and being able to share about the conference and let people know what we do for as National Women in Agriculture and also especially here in the state what our goals are for as Mississippi is concerned. So I wanted to thank you for inviting us so we could speak on it.
All right, well, very good people. We're winding it up. We have had a great time here at Heritage Soul Food. We're about to end the program. Again, we're at 606 West Main Street here in Louisville, Mississippi. And I tell you, I just finished my collard green, but I tell you, I am going to do an encore on the collard green.
Well, you got to text me there when I come down there.
Well, I'm going to tell you about it today. Collard green cornbread. You want it. I'm sorry, Felicia. I'm sorry, Tammy, but you need to be here in Louisville, Mississippi today to enjoy the good food that we're having. We want to thank everybody for listening in. Follow the West County Central Cooperative at WCSAC.com. Our phone number 662-779-2400. Follow us on some of the activities that we're having on next week. The cooperative will be meeting on next Thursday at 4 p.m. out at the Gladys Tree Farm Fair in the New Guy community, and we're planning to have a great time. And at all time, be sure to endorse someone who's making a difference in the community, whether they work with the natural resources, young people, elderly people. Let's do what we can to make a better place for all of our individuals to live on this earth. To Ms. Tammy Steele and to Felicia Bell, we wish you all the best on the upcoming conference that will happen on April 18th through the 12th at Jackson State University here in the state of Mississippi. And if you want more information, you can call Ms. Felicia Bell at 601-955-0339. Listen, it's always a good Lord. We'll see you back here next week with Save Rural America. God bless. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.